The International Ministers Conference is God's strategy to set your life and ministry on course. Welcome to the International Ministers Conference 2022, positioning your life and ministry for the end time move of God.
I was in the club. I'd like us to receive my spiritual father as he comes to bless us at HMC 2022.
Hallelujah. Shall we lift our two hands unto Jesus? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bless the Lord. Let's lift those two hands unto Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every deposit of grace have been made so far, and the Lord is not done with us yet. Just give Him praise. Give Him glory. The Lord has not left us without a witness. So give Him praise. Let's magnify the King of glory. Let's exalt Him. Let's thank Him for doing what only He can do. Let's thank Him for blessing us abundantly with multiple streams of grace in this conference. Just give Him praise. Give Him glory. Thank Him for the apostle. Thank Him for Mama. Thank Him for all the ministers, all the stewards, all the sons and daughters, and everyone that is a part of this vision. Just bless Him. Just bless Him. Just bless Him. Ya kashne moga haste. Chele brahangas. Ramahanga santala mayaga. Zembrana hashke neste. Ramangaste. Shendelem branande gazaya. Blessed are your eyes for the sea, and your ears for the hear. He said the days at hand and the effect of every vision. Thank Him for the performance of the vision. That which has been spoken by the mouth of God is performed by the hand of the Lord. So thank Him for His hand that is evident upon this ministry. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Bless Him. Shanda bongo banga. Rambamba bongo naya. Sembre nembongo na. Sembre demaya. Sembre nande. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to sing a song. Sona Yesu. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands, everyone. Sona Yesu.
Sona Yesu. Sona Yesu, Kadonani.
Lift your hands on
me. Sona Yesu, Taima Kona. Sona Yesu, Nazaranani. Sona Yesu, Nisariki.
Let's sing it three more times.
Sona Yesu.
I said hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now you see, the Lord spoke to me yesterday night, and then I've been trying to navigate in the spirit and then to really know the direction that I was going to be, you know, following and administering the things that the Lord has laid on my heart for the servant of God, for the house. Now, I want you to know very, very, you know, deeply in your heart that what the Lord is doing here is a process. And then I see this conference, you know, becoming an epicenter of a major move of God upon the face of the earth. I see it. I see it very clearly. And I'm not saying that to, you know, to play to the gutter. I see it very clearly in the spirit realm. Now you see, sometimes God, by divine ordination, by divine prerogative, is superintends meetings on the face of the earth and the meetings in the body of Christ, meetings that he himself has called for the sake of generations. It's in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And then we heard about Kenneth Hagin camp meetings, and then people traveled from different parts of the world. They were taught, and then they carried the fire of God from, you know, Dad Hagin's camp meeting to different parts of the world. And today, the effect of such meetings still reverberates across generational landscapes. I'm not just talking about, you know, cross-cultural impact. I'm not talking about international. That's part of it. I'm talking about generational dimension to the move of God. And so it has pleased the Lord that that which God has actually ordained through the burden he has placed in the hand of his servant is going to become a major epicenter for the move of God in this end time. And then tomorrow I'll be praying for him, praying for Mama. And then I'll be praying for Happy Girl, because glory to God. All right. So I'm going to, glory to God. I'm going to say that tomorrow. Amen. So I'm going to be praying, because the Lord showed me some things in the spirit realm. And then we're going to act that out in the physical realm. But you see, yesterday the word of the Lord came to me very clearly. And he said to tell you, Apostle, now listen very carefully. You have, you know, believed God. You have taken God, you know, by his word. You have not held back. You've not doubted the word of God. And then you've not, you know, displayed any kind of double-mindedness in your followership, in your walk with God. And then he said you have believed him. You have trusted him. And he said, as you tell you, it came to me, it sounded like an audible voice yesterday. And he said to tell you two things. We're not praying today. Tomorrow I'm going to be praying. Two things. One, he said, you see, what you have seen in the realm of the spirit, exactly the way you have seen it, the way he has shown you, without being embellished, the way you have seen it, the vision he showed you, he planted in the womb of your spirit, he says it's going to come to pass exactly like that. And then he said, I should tell you, he said that you have never limited him, that you should not limit him. Don't limit me, says the Spirit of grace, because there are certain dimensions that will be coming, you know, to you in season, out of season. And then, and you are going to think that, Lord, thank you, Lord. And you are going to think, Lord, this is heavy. The Lord, this is, you know, it's so gigantic, it's so prodigious, it's so great. But the Lord said, you should not limit him. You should not limit him. You know, the Lord told Abraham, he said, I am your reward. Amen. And Abraham said, I said, I go childless. And then, and the Lord said, okay, don't worry. And then he showed him, he said, count all the stars. If you can number all the stars, God brought him to another realm. And he said, if you can count all the stars, so shall thy disciples, thy seed be. From that point on, it was sealed. So he said, don't limit me. What we have seen so far is just a tip of the iceberg. What we have seen so far is a process in the making. As a matter of fact, what we are seeing right now, it cannot be compared to the weight of what lies ahead. And I'm praying today, for everyone that is a critical part of this vision, that when the full-blown, full manifestation of that which God has put in the heart of his servant comes, you will not be found wanting. I say, you will not be found wanting. You will not be found wanting. And so please stand, please rise. Let's celebrate Apostle Femi Lazarus and Pastor Miracle Femi Lazarus. Please celebrate them. Celebrate them. Celebrate them. Let me say this. The kind of work they are doing for the Lord is more than being able to preach. It's more than being able to teach, being able to impact. It takes a man that has a heart. The heart for the body of Christ. A heart. You know, the Lord talks about Solomon. He said, God, the scripture talks about Solomon. He said, the Lord gave him largeness of heart. It is God that gives people. And so the kind of work that God is doing through his hands is not every minister. Even though a minister can be called into it, but not every minister has qualified themselves for it. And so you have passed through the process of pruning, of testing, and of course the Lord has found you faithful. I want to encourage you, sir, that you should keep up the good works, and the Lord will strengthen you more and more. We are so blessed to have you in this generation. We are so blessed to have you in the body of Christ. We are so blessed to be eyewitnesses of what the Lord is doing in your life. I've always believed the grace of God upon your life from day one. I do not doubt the hand of God upon your life. It's so clear, it's so evident, it's so, you know, visible to the blind, and it's so audible to the deaf. And I believe that this is just the beginning. We celebrate you, sir. We love you, sir. Thank you for loving the people of God. Thank you for shouldering the heavy weight of responsibility to perpetuate the move of God in this generation. Thank you for the sacrifices that you make behind the scene. Behind the scene. I know you are a workaholic. He works a lot. He labors with grace. And we talk virtually every day. So I know. And so we celebrate. Please help me celebrate Apostle Femi Lazarus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And please help me celebrate Pastor Miracle Femi Lazarus. Please celebrate. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now, you see, she is a woman of weight in the realm of the spirit. I know what I'm saying. There was a time I had a prayer section with the family. It was a 7-day, prayer section. So we're praying, and then the kind of anointing for prayer upon her life, I've not seen that before. It's so distinct. It's so unique. And so I believe it was not a mistake that God planted her behind Apostle. And so we are so blessed to have you, ma. Thank you, mama. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the sacrifices. I love this family. I do not fake it. I love you, sir. I love you, ma. I love Spirit of Light Church. Now, let me say this. You know, in ministry, it is one thing to be taught. It's another thing to be trained. When I come across, you know, the members of this ministry everywhere, you can see. It's not just something they do within the four walls of a church. It's a spirit. It's a pattern. The pattern of excellence, the pattern of honor. It shows they are trained. And listen, they are trained because there is a trainer in the house. The apostle is a trainer. And so we celebrate you. This is a house of excellence. Spirit of Light Church, I love you all. I celebrate you. Streams of Light. Please celebrate Streams of Light. The media people, everyone, all the stewards, all the pastors, Everyone, I celebrate you. Please help me celebrate all the ministers of God in the house. I celebrate you, sirs. And as I celebrate you, thank you for the great work. Glory to God. All right, please take your seat in God's wonderful presence. Amen. Now, tonight, by the leading of God, I'm going to be teaching the Word of God. And then I'm going to be teaching on what the Spirit of the Lord has laid on my heart, specifically, in line with the burning in the heart of God for this hour. And then I followed the meeting from day one, and I want to appreciate all the graces that, you know, we have received in the course of this conference. Let's celebrate all the ministers that have ministered so far. Great. I followed from day one. Now you see, while I was in the presence of the Lord, it was very strongly impressed upon my heart to not sound alarm, as it were, but to be able to strike some depth, which is very, very, you know, dear to the heart of the Father, to the heart of God. And it has to do with the body of Christ. It has to do with the move of God upon the face of the head. And I'm trusting the Lord today that the Spirit of God is going to help me. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege again to feed on your word. We come by faith and we declare our eyes of understanding be enlightened in the name of Jesus. That grace be administered in the name of Jesus. And the Lord, the word will come line upon line and precept upon precept, and your name shall be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let somebody say amen. Let somebody say amen. Alright, the theme of this conference is positioning your life and ministry for the move of God, the end time move of God. Positioning your life and ministry for the end time move of God. And then tonight I'll be sharing with us on what I have captioned, how to be relevant in the move of God. How to be relevant in the move of God. And then tomorrow morning I'm going to be sharing on critical trainings, you know, to be relevant in the move of God. Now, I see that there's been a synergy between the different ministrations so far. And I believe that there's something the Lord is emphasizing. And then I'm going to take it from the dimension of the burden the Lord has laid on my heart. And I know that this is an hybrid meeting in the sense that we have those in active ministry and we have people, ministers in the making. We have a different, you know, cadre of ministers that the Lord is raising in this end time. So how to be relevant in the move of God. So I will make it to be systematic so that I don't take too much of our time. Now there are three key words that we need to pay keen attention to. Number one is move. Number two is mover. And number three is movement. Can somebody say move? Say louder, say move. And say mover. And I say movement. Now, the move of the Spirit. We realize from scripture that the first time, you know, the Spirit of God began to move in scripture is Genesis chapter number one. And from verse one, the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, light be, and light was. The Spirit moved. Now that means the Holy Spirit is not a dogmatic form. The Holy Spirit is a dynamic force. The Holy Spirit is a dynamic force. It cannot be boxed into a corner. Now I want to say this. The move of the Spirit does not happen in a vacuum. The move of the Spirit happens through the body of Christ. That's important. We're going to be looking at the structural configuration of the body of Christ tonight, and then your place in the body, how you can appreciate the wisdom of God in planting and placing you where you belong. Are you participating? Knowing that your relevance in the move of God is not about your connection to the body of Christ, but about your contribution to the body of Christ. Now that's important. Now you see, in Paul's exposition on Ecclesia, the church of the living God. Now we realize in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks or bond or free, and we be made to drink into the same Spirit. By one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now see, when you talk about the move of God or the move of the Spirit, as the case may be, now happening on the face of the earth, it's not something that is happening in a vacuum. It is something that is channeled through an institution, a body called the church. Glory to God. Now that's important. Now the scripture says the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit moved upon the face. So the Holy Spirit was not floating. It was moving on something, on the face of the waters. I remember in Psalm 29 verse 3, the scripture says, the voice of the Lord is upon many waters. Glory to God. And so when you look at the move of God upon the face of the earth, the church
of the Lord Jesus, the body of Christ, is that entity that hosts the move of God and that communicates the prospects and the possibilities of the move of God on the face of the earth from generation to generation. Now, the Spirit of the Lord laid this on my heart. Sometimes some of us, we have taught in the past that, well, it's just about my connection to the body of Christ. I'm connected. Now, you see, Paul used the analogy of the human body, the anatomical structure of the human body. So when you read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, you start reading from verse 1, way down to verse 12, it was way down to verse 11, it was talking about the operations of the gift of the Spirit. And then from verse 13, and then you read down to verse 27, it was talking about the body of Christ. And then that particular passage of scripture gives us an insight into the inner workings and the dynamics of the body of Christ relative to the move of God upon the face of the earth. Then from verse 28, way down to verse 30, it was talking about ministry gift that God has sent in the church, apostles and prophets and teachers and workers of miracles and what of you. And then verse 31, it was talking about a more excellent way that even though we are praising the gift of the Spirit, even though we are called of God and that we have been planted in our respective places and offices in the body of Christ, there is a more excellent way. Now, so when you read the epistles, most of them are not chapterized, but it said the writers chapterized this epistles for easy assimilation and understanding. And so they are woven into one another. Then chapter 13 and verse 1, the scripture now talks about that excellent way, which is love. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now so, God is not going to do, listen. The church of the living God, the body of Christ, is that legitimate entity, an institution through which the intents, the plans, the purposes in the hand of God are communicated to generations. And spirit by configuration cannot work legitimately on the earth without finding a body to walk through. For instance, when you look at demon spirit. Now, have you seen a demon before? How many of you have seen a, if you have seen a demon before, let me see your hand. Oh, just wave your hands, amen. Now we just talk about demons. The Lord Jesus said, they shall cast out demons. They shall cast out devils, amen. We've not seen some of these demons before, unless by the gift of the discerning of spirit, if you are granted insight into, you know, the body structure of a demon, and then you see that, and then you reject it out. But primarily speaking, fundamentally speaking, the demons, that spirit, evil spirit, they find bodies that they can inhabit in order to work through. Now, a case in point is the madman of Gadara, remember? Now, the man was at the cemetery cutting himself with stones, and then no one could tame him. He was untamable. The Lord Jesus saw him and exorcised those 2,000 devils. And they besought him that you send us to the head of swine. And Jesus sent those demons, injected them. And then those demons entered into the body of those animals. So every spirit needs a body for legitimate operation on the face of the earth. And the same principle cannot be circumvented or violated when it comes to the things of God. The Holy Spirit cannot move, as it were, on the face of the head without finding a body to move through. And that body is the body of Christ. And that body is the church of the living God. So let's go back to that scripture. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. Now let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and are made to drink into one spirit. Now, another scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4. I'm just going to read the fourth sentence. Now it said, there is one body and one spirit. There is one body and one spirit. Now, meaning that the spirit, now, when we say the Holy Spirit is on the face of the earth, I'm not going to believe that the Holy Spirit is on the earth. Wave your hands. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? Inside of us. Amen. Who are the us or who are the we? The body of Christ. And that is why the scripture says in James chapter 2 verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead. It says, so faith without works is dead. The body without the spirit. Now, see, what is death? Death means a human spirit is separated from a human body. Are you following me? Now, it doesn't primarily mean cessation of life, as some people, you know, have said in the past, because when somebody dies, they still continue to live, because man is an eternal spirit. It lives whether eternally to be with God. That's why Philippians 1:21 said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he said, when he dies and he goes on to be with the Lord, he will be with the Lord. Glory to God. So man is an eternal spirit. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, the body without the spirit becomes a burden. It's not a blessing. Glory to God. We have the Holy Spirit, and that's the mover. Can somebody say the mover? Let's say loud. I said the mover. Now, so we are talking about the move of the Spirit, the move of God, but there is a mover, and that mover is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the first word we realize, therefore, is the word move. Now, what is move? The move of God, therefore, is the operational activity of the Holy Spirit at a specific point in time. The operational activity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is not passive. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that animates the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is dead without the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3 and in verse 6, now he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Amen. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Alright, the number three word is movement. Can somebody say movement? The Lord has said movement. Now, so we're looking at the word move, the word mover, and the word movement. Now, what is a move? The move is the operational activity of the Holy Spirit of God upon the face of the head at a specific time, point in time. Now, the mover is the Spirit of God behind the scene, making things happen in the physical realm of life. The number three, a movement, according to the dictionary, is a group of people who share the same ideas and aims. Now, until a generation is born in the order of the move of God, there is no movement. The move of God has not become a movement. So the move of the Spirit becomes a movement when it produces a people in the order of that move. Very important. So the Holy Spirit is moving mightily in a particular dimension, in a particular direction. And so people are raised at that point in time to exemplify, to embody the nature of that particular move that we see. With. Now there's a scripture the Holy Spirit just whispered to me now. Let me quote it from verse 1. The scripture tells us in Psalm 110 from verse 1. Now this was a post-resurrection revelation revealed, given to David. The Lord said unto my Lord, just sit thou at my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. Said the Lord will send the rod of the strand of Zion, the root and the midst of the enemies. Glory to God. Then verse 3 said, the people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The people. So, the day of the power. The power of God is the instrument in the hand of the Holy Spirit. So that means the Holy Spirit is the custodian of God's power. That little wonder when in Luke chapter 1 from verse 35, the angel Gabriel told Mary, said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. So wherever you see the Spirit, you see power. It talks about a demonstration of the Spirit and power. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. Glory to God. And so the people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Can somebody say from the womb of the morning? Let's say a lot of say from the womb of the morning. From the womb of the morning, the people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. So from the womb of the morning, thou hast the deal of the year. Now that's important. So now the point that has been emphasized is until a generation is born in the order of the move of God, the move of God has not become a movement. And then God has that in mind. In other words, the people are raised in the midst of the move of God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I believe we are getting something. If you're getting something, say amen. Say loud, say amen. A group of people who share the same ideas and him. So we're looking at the mover and the movements. Now, so let me go back to where I started from. So when we talk about the move of God, it is not something in a vacuum. I'm going somewhere. The Holy God is doing something on the face of the earth, making use of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is the center of the distribution of God's power. The body of Christ is God's wisdom center on the earth. The body of Christ is God's teaching center on the earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18, say, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Who were the people being referred to? The church, the body of Christ. Amen. Now Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9. He taught the disciples to pray in the interim. He said, pray after this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now see, some people think that the kingdom of God is the body of Christ. That's not correct. The kingdom of God is not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the agency to spread the influence of God's kingdom on the face of the earth. Whereas the kingdom of God is a system, the church is an institution. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So let's break it down. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now what was the object of the prayer? The object of the prayer was the kingdom of God coming to interface with the affairs of man. Now, who were the people praying? Or who were the people taught to pray? The church, the... Because there are three that bear record in heaven, right? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Now, so, what the Spirit of the Lord showed me is that your relevance in the move of God will be rated along the line of your contribution to the body ministry. Not just your connection. When you see a full-fledged human body, now the hand is connected. Am I correct? The leg is connected. The ears are connected. The eyes are connected. Now, being connected is not enough. For instance, I have been an orthopedic patient before, so I know what I'm saying. Even if nothing happens to you, if you just stay on the same spot, you lay on the same spot for, let's say, 4 months, nothing, you didn't have an accident, you didn't have a fracture of tibia or fibula or a lower limb or upper limb, you are just there and you did not make use of your lower limb or your upper limb, you did not raise your hand, you did not raise your leg for 3 months, 4 months, you do not make use of it. Now after 3 months or 4 months, if you try to lift your leg, you will not be able to lift it. Am I correct? So it's not just about my hand is connected to my body, but my hand is relevant in the sense that it's contributing something to the entire value chain of the ministry that that body represents. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. Oh my, Lord Jesus, help me. And let's read this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1, 2, 3, go. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and comparted by that which every joint supply it. Every joint supply it. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now I want to say this. Every joint supply. Can someone say every joint supply? We are not redundant by design. We are redundant by decision. We are not redundant by configuration, by divine configuration. We are redundant by the decisions that we make. So that means you are not a parasite. Every dimension of grace that God has blessed every member of the body of Christ with, even if it's not a ministry gift, in the order of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is contributing something to the entire overall well-being of the body of Christ. Now, if you ever hurt your toenails, or maybe one of your toes, or one of your fingers get removed, now what happens to your whole body? Your whole body will feel the pain. This is very, very important. And that is why on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus asked Saul of Tarsus. He says, Saul, why persecuted thou me? He didn't say why persecuted the Christians. He said, why persecuted thou me? Because it feels our pulse. It feels our pain. Whatever we go through, he experiences the same thing. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Now, so what we see today, now I want to say this, there are certain statements I want to make here today, and I thank God that the Holy Spirit has already set a tempo in the course of this meeting. Now, for instance, you cannot say, when two things are different, you can't say one is better than the other. You can't say the man is better than the woman. They are different. Wave your hands. You can't say a lawyer is better than a doctor. They are different. You can't say a chorister is better or more effective than a prayer warrior. No, they are different. Honestly, they are different. And so, in the mind of God, God is not thinking about inferiority. God is not thinking about that person preaches better than this person, or does this better than the other person, as it were. God is thinking with respect to the body ministry. That means you are relevant when you stay where God has planted you and you contribute your quota. And I want to say this, there is this teaching that has festered in the body of Christ for years. And then I want to say something. Now, all of us, are we going to be famous? Are we going to, are we going to be on the same level of visibility? No. I want to say that again. All believers will not be on the same level of visibility. When Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What he's saying is, those good works are the works that have been ordained from the foundation of the earth. And so there is a light of God in your spirit, Matthew 5:16, and then 2 Corinthians 4:6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hand to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So unbelievers, what they are seeing, they are not seeing the light. They are seeing the material tangibility of the light, good works. What are the good works? The works ordained from the foundation of the heart that we walk in them. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Our design, our assignment, good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we don't walk for good works, we walk in good works. That's what they're saying. They are ordained. So all All I need is a sacrifice of alignment with the eternal plan of God for my life, so that I walk in good works. And then that will now be the corresponding reality that is the material equivalent of the light of God in my spirit. Now, I want to say this. There are parts of your body that are not visible. Am I correct? With your hands. The liver, the heart, the lungs. But you see, God forbid any bad thing, none of them will come down in Jesus' name. They are not visible. The hand is visible. Leg visible. Head visible. Eyes visible. There are invisible parts that are not visible. Now, if any of them refuses to work as designed, the whole body will feel the shock. I want to say this. A great man of God, Dr. David Yonggicho of blessed memory, the Lord told him that the major secret of his church, the church grew, the church was growing, and then the Lord showed him there was an aggressive, you know, prayer chain going on by women praying. Now there are intercessors. The scripture talks about a woman by the name of Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, was in the temple serving God with fastings and prayers. She was not going about breaking territories or opening territories. She was serving God. The grace that God gave her was the grace of intercession. She deployed it to the entire well-being of the body. And when they brought baby Jesus in, Simon the old man, who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, carried the baby. He said, "Lord, you told me that I will not see that until I see the Messiah. Now let us all depart in peace." The woman carried the baby and she spoke of the redemption that awaited humanity. That woman was an intercessor. And then the work and the job of an intercessor mostly is behind the scene. Let's wave our hands. Oh my. Let's wave our hands. Let's wave our hands. The day your lungs says, "I want to come out too." I want people to see me, to notice me. Like the highs. Then you know there's going to be a disruption in the systemic configuration of the body. It's a teaching that has, you know, festered over the years. Now, there is a level, see, listen, relevance is not measured by fame, it's measured by impact and contribution. It is not about collection, it's about contribution. What are you contributing to the body of Christ? Now, I want to say this. My God, you know, I have Bible concordance. How many of us, Matthew Henry commentary? There are labels behind the scene. Somebody sat down from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and they ran a commentary on scripture verse by verse. And many of us that we claim to be teachers of the word, preachers, we come, we consult their materials, we preach, we consult them. And the people elogize and they say, "Wow, great revelation." Somebody labored like 700 years or 200 years ago in order to pin it down. That man is not visible. Praise God. But the labor will never go in vain. There are some songs we sing today. Oh my. I just love hymns. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a troubled fountain. Take my raps to shore for fine. Rest beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever. Take my rapture so shall find. Rest beyond the river. We are never, never weary of the grand old song. Hey, Fanny J. Crosby. Now, brought forth This is your ordination. Add it, and generations are benefiting from it. Will you hear somebody? Please sit down, Papa. Please sit down. I don't know, but see, while I followed this meeting from day one, I was praying the Spirit and I was thanking the Lord because certain things have been said here. They were not that popular a couple of years ago. And if they were popular, it was not percolating through the entire components of the body of Christ. Maybe some people had a glimpse of such truth. And today young ministers are developing high blood pressure. We are not saying you are not going to make impact. We are not saying you are not going to be all that God has called you to be. But you see, when you stand before Jesus, oh, thank you, Lord. Can someone say the body? 2 Corinthians 5:10. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us will receive the things done where? In his body. Can someone say in his body? Let's say it louder. Say in his body. So the body is a tool in order to pursue the assignment of God for your life. Jesus said, a body has thou prepared me to do thy will, O God. My body is not given for pleasure. It's given for purpose. That's what scripture is saying. A body has thou prepared me. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 5 to verse 7. I said, Lord, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Maybe we should just do, let me check my time. Now, maybe we should just do a systematic exposition of what Paul was talking about here. Because we just read, the eye cannot say I don't need the air. The ear cannot say I don't need the leg. Let's take it systematically. Alright, so let's start from verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. By one Spirit, are we all baptized? Well, let me do a little exegesis here. Now, let's start from verse 12. And let's just note the following point, and then we'll just look at what it's talking about. Verse 12. Now, verse 12, I want us to read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, be many, and one body, so is Christ. Now, we are many, but it's one body. Can someone say one body? One of the heralds I've seen some people promote is to magnify their peculiar area of grace at the expense of other people's areas of grace. No. No. Let me say this. If I come here today and say, okay, all the ministers that I've preached, the greatest teaching was the one that I gave. Now that will be incorrect. God is a God of diversity. And diversity is not adversity. Diversity is not division. Diversity is for the well-being of the body of Christ. The dimension that God showed you is the one that you brought to the table. But we have seen people who are hell-bent on promoting their own dimension and making it as if that is all about God is saying. And then they relegate other people's dimensions. It is not correct. It's error. It is not correct. It is error. We have teachers. We don't teach the same way. We have preachers. We don't preach the same way. There are styles of ministry. We have to understand it now. We have music ministers. They don't sing the same way. The dimension that God has blessed you with, you bring now. Paul said, now let me not jump the gun. I'm still coming there. Now, so number one, let's note this. Verse 12, it talks about the organic structure of the body of Christ. The body is one, but has many members. So, the challenge is, no matter how God is using you today, know that God is using somebody else somewhere. I remember some years ago, I gathered a band of intercessors. That was year 2006. And we're praying on the gates of Zion. Nehemiah chapter 3, the sheep gate, the fish gate, the hold gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate, the water gate, and then the horse gate. And then we began to pray. We prayed for like 12 weeks. And then I received a book from it. When the Lord shall build up Zion. So I taught it. That message. The Lord gave me an insight into Psalm 102 verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, it shall appear in his glory. The gates of Zion. Now, I went to my spiritual father to cross check and then to vet it. That I hope this is in line, because I was doing a lot of, scriptural juxtaposition. And he said, no, that's okay. It was not long after then, there was a man, I didn't read it in any book, a man of God from UK. He preached a message, and it was as if he was preaching from my note. God is a God of diversity. Look at the birth of Jesus. Why did God reveal a dimension to a prophet and didn't show him everything? Many prophets prophesied about it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 to 12. The scripture says, of which salvation the prophet inquired diligently, and they sat diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come to you. The next verse. Searching what? Of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now the next verse. Unto whom it was revealed, and not to themselves, but to us that did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, the things which the angel desire to look into. All the prophets did not see the same thing about the ministry of Christ. Isaiah gave us the redemptive picture of Christ on the cross of Calvary. He didn't see everything about it, about Christ. His ministry, pre-resurrection, post-resurrection, and then second advent. Daniel received a revelation, not just of Calvary, new Christian realities. God decided to give Daniel a post-church age revelation of how Jesus will turn the kingdom over to God the Father. And will be all in all. Moses received the revelation of his prophetic ministry. The Lord shall raise a prophet unto you like unto myself. He said it. Enoch prophesied. Enoch did not see the new creation realities and all of that. But he said, Jude 14, he said, Enoch the servant from Adam prophesied that the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That was what was given to him. Micah, God gave him the nativity of Christ. Micah 5 verse 2. He said, oh Bethlehem Ephrathah, art thou not the least of the thousands in the cities of Judah? Out of you shall come forth a governor that shall rule my people Israel, whose feet have been ordained from on hold, from everlasting to everlasting. He saw that. Same man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe someone. Now, bring in your own dimension now and say, this is everything that God is saying. And then, God is not saying that. It's not correct. I have seen it. Don't force things down the throat of the people. Share your revelation. I have received from the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11 from verse 23. And after the same man also took the cup, when he also said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall drink this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I say, wherefore many are sick and they die among you, and many fall asleep. Well, if a man will judge himself, He will not be judged. God give him that. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it's diversity. Can somebody say diversity? Say loud, it's a diversity. So diversity is not division in the body of Christ. So we have got to know that. We have got to know that. We have got to know that. Don't try to promote your dimension at the expense of the dimensions that other people bear to the body of Christ. See, there is no single pastor, no single minister can host all the dimensions of God relative to ministry. You will burst and die prematurely. Little wonder, as great as Peter was, he said, the account of the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. And he said, the wisdom was given to our brother Paul. He wrote in his epistles the things that are too difficult to understand that make the unstable to rest. Now, he said that in 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. God delivered the dimension to him. Very important. See, don't despise your dimension. Don't despise the grace of God upon your life. Amen. See, in Christ, there is no inferior ministry. We only have diversities of ministry. Our completeness is not in our individualities. Our completeness is in our differences. And it's ironical that it is at the point of these differences that the devil has made the church to err. Instead of us to harness the strength of our differences, we use it to fight each other. I watched a crusade in South Africa some years ago on video. Real Bonkis Crusade. Benny Hinn was there. Dr. Ray McCauley was there. And I was a man of God who was a disciple of David Duplessis. So Real Bonkis to a fire conference and then he ministered. And it was time to minister Holy Ghost baptism. And Real Bonkis stepped aside. Benny Hinn stepped aside. And he said, there is a man of God here. He doesn't need to lay hands. We will lay hands on, but he will not lay hands on you. He will just be smiling and everybody will be speaking in tongues. So I sat down. I'm interested. So the man, the man came up and he was smiling. And everybody began to speak in tongues. Everybody spoke in tongues. This diversity, the understanding of it, the early church understood. Now, Philip went to Samaria. Somebody cast out devils. Somebody broke the yoke of occultism, territorial principality, over Samaria. And it was time to minister Holy Ghost. If somebody could heal the sick, cast out devils, would you not be able to minister Holy Ghost baptism? And they sent for Peter and John. Now, some people will say that the reason they sent for Peter and John is because Philip was not called, did not have the capacity to be Holy Ghost. No, that's not correct. Ananias, a disciple, ministered to Paul. But there was something that God was passing across. And when Peter and John came, they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. The same Peter, that's Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10. Peter was speaking at the house of Cornelius. He was not there speaking. At 10:44, why Peter, yet he was still speaking, this word said, the Holy Ghost fell on all that had the word. That is a word in my spirit. I believe the key to longevity in ministry is staying where you belong. Stay in your office. And the Spirit of the Lord is witnessing to my hand that as so many servants of God have gone home before their time because they did not stay where they belong. And then we might criticize them, but the church also does not help matter. The way some of us we preach, the way we talk as if every other person that has any other dimension or any other thing, are you following me? Whatever they carry is not relevant. That is not relevant. But that's not correct. Paul took time. See, they wrote letters to Paul. Some of these epistles, they were responses to the agitation in the mind of the people. I mean, the gate of the spirit is moving. People are flowing. And I am the Lord. I'm among you in Jesus' name. And then somebody will now switch from there and say, I am the Lord. Even though sometimes I get afraid, but I'm afraid today. I will not be afraid tomorrow. And then they see all of that confusion. And Paul said, okay, concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you ignorant. We don't cure ignorance by impartation, it's by teaching. You don't lay hands on people that spirit of ignorance, go no. Teaching the word. Jesus got to his hometown. He marveled at their unbelief. They did not receive his ministry. And then he just did minor works. From that point, the scripture says he now went from one synagogue to the other. Teaching the word. Because he knew that was a remedy. That was a remedy for ignorance. That was a remedy for it. There is no dimension that is too small. See, let me say this. There is a man of God, Phineas Jennings Deck. He has an annotated Bible that many of us we have in our libraries. Phineas Deck lived for, I think, 84, 85 years ago. And based on study, he spent 50 years of his life reading the Bible. One day, he quoted Matthew 1 to Revelation 22 often. They put the quotation on air. Now, that's a dimension. What I've seen in the body of Christ, if somebody has that dimension today, you will see it on social media. It's not by quoting scriptures. Why are we like this? I read online recently, some people, they unpicked some ministers and began to bash them. They said they will use the word portals, realms of the mortals, dimensions, three gateways to the mortal glory, and then, oh my. And then, I see pastors, respected people. People I felt should know better. They contributed to the confusion. And you see them come, and then, like Apostle Lazarus said, I think it was mentioned yesterday, some of these things, the people coming behind us, they are observing. They see it the way we do it. They see how you want to outsmart a minister that has ministered before you or after you. They see how you want to outsmart somebody who sang before you or after you. And they are taking note. The judgment seat of Christ. You may not go to hell, but Jesus will wipe away tears. That is correct. Because it's the hinge of the body of Christ. Just say stuff, and I say, this thing is very simple. We have styles of ministry. For instance, when I minister, by God's grace, I teach. By God's grace. I quote a lot of scriptures. There are not things the Holy Spirit brings those scriptures to my remember. Some teachers will preach. They may not be able to quote all those scriptures. They will mention scriptures. That's their dimension. Now, the way we title messages, how should that divide the body of Christ? I ran a series some years ago on global trends and seasons of revelation because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Now, it was a time that the whole world was trying to lose its balance, and the Lord said, I should teach along this line. And he gave me the title. And I thought, now, so somebody, we are not on the same page in our walk with God. We are not on the same level of mental development. We may want to teach about power. Somebody may title his own message, God's power is in you. That's title. Another minister comes and he says, dunamis, unveiling his latent dimensions. We start fighting. I would say he's showing this. He says, show much. No. I mean, no.
This is a burden in the heart of the Holy Spirit. Archbishop Idahosa held a crusade in Lagos some years ago, and Mama Bola Arek came to sing. I saw Archbishop stood up, Mama Idahosa stood up, Baba Yorisha Jaffa was there and some other people, and Mama was singing Yoruba song. They invited Baba Yewa. It was a lovely miracle with eruption of miracles, signs and wonders. Because the woman stayed in her dimension. There are people that are trying to change the pattern of their ministry. Because you are just under pressure. You don't feel tools. Why the tools? What are you talking about? The pattern of ministry God gives you is in the order of liberation, deliverance. And the new creation, grace preachers will come, they will knock you and bash you and say you are not worthy. Somebody, glory to God. I said, glory to God. One day, somebody was interpreting, I think, for a man of God. And then she had been doing it though. I will look on your kid. Somebody said, Barada! That's a dimension. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that reject the prophet, the people sent to you. He said, your city shall lie in ruins until you see, bless the sea that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's how weight it is. That God bless somebody with a dimension, but you say you are not receiving it. When Baba Mike Bamiloni started drama ministry, Mount Zion, it was not popular. People, body of Christ fought it. But he saw the names in the movie industry, Obato Gunde and the likes. And God gave a man a vision that we can bring in the kingdom here. Some people didn't see it. But he said, thank God for stamina. Thank God for strength. Thank God for the grace of a forerunner. They stayed on course. When Kenyon was teaching new creation realities, it's not in this generation that we accept. Everybody can even splutter it and quote it. I'm in Christ. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of the glory. In those days, they called him a courtist. When Darigan was teaching faith, now I want to say this. The Lord give us understanding. In Jesus' name. It's delicate, but let me say it. I have the permission of the rest to say it. God is bringing different moves to complement each other. SU movement broke out. Bible study, quiet time, prayers, discipleship, devotion, and the likes. And God was bringing a dimension of prosperity to complement it. That you see, this depth you have, it can actually be sponsored and promoted to the hands of the earth. More people were blessed. So God raised the lives of Papa Idahosa, and let's, but the church rose up. The church said, no, we are backsliding. When the Lord said, church, the church gave the signal, it's time to move into education. Have you read in scripture? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. Isaiah 61, verse 4. Isaiah 61, verse 4. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations and repair the wastes. The desolations of many generations. Now, why does the Bible say desolations of many generations? The desolations were there. Generations came. One generation came, they didn't do anything about it. They left. Another generation came, they didn't do anything about it. So many generations saw the desolation, they didn't do anything about it. And God now said, I will raise a generation that will raise these former desolations. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Church, move into education. Hey, we are backsliding. Oh, what does church have to do with education? And the churches, ministries were established, universities. People fought it. They fought it. But thank God for the grace of the forerunner. The father stood. Majority of the people who fought it, they are building universities. I'm not saying this to berate them. Now that's going to be against protocol. No.
I'm saying it from my heart. It's a burden in the heart of God. Let's begin to hit the home stretch. And so that we can receive the servant of the Lord. Amen. I believe we're getting something. Let's just do some minutes and then so I close. Amen. I said amen. So let's do exegesis. Let's systematic rendering of that. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, so there is an organic interdependence. Then number 2, look at verse 13. The spirit of the body of Christ. By one spirit we are baptized into one body. So it is the spirit that baptizes you into the body. Then number 3, look at verse 15 and then to 17. Well, I'm going to do that. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now notice, the emphasis is on the body. Can somebody say the body? Can somebody say the body? She said, I'm not of the body, because I know. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Now, there is a danger of receiving grace from Jesus, the head of the church, and trying to merchandise that grace and then to abuse it within a platform or on a platform that is not the body of Christ. And that is why he said, as long as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, see to the edifying of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12. So let's move on. Then number 4. Now, let me say this. I've said this. Our completeness is not in our individualities, but in our diversities. No one is redundant by design. We are redundant by decision. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now, number 4 now. Verse 18 now. Verse 18. And now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased them. So your ministry is not your desire, it's your discovery. As it has pleased them. As it has pleased them. Now, God called, Paul, and he did marvelous works. The scripture says the principal pillars in the early church, those who are far above him in ministry, Peter, James, and John, when those men were casting out devils on the field, Paul was winning and dining with the devil. But Galatians chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible says when Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heaven and they unto the circumcision. Do we still have this pattern today? But you see, it's a dimension that the Spirit of God is restoring the body of Christ. The story walk of man, the Holy Ghost is moving everywhere. Everywhere. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Divine placement. The eternal prerogative. Amos said, I was not a prophet. I was not a person. I was just a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the hand of God came on me and said, go and prophesy to the house of Israel. I was not planning for it. It double crossed me. That is divine prerogative. Divine prerogative. If God say, I've called you to be an apostle, you don't say, Lord, I don't want. How dare you say that? You are called to be a teacher. How dare you say that? I don't want. Divine prerogative. And then we just stay there. Look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. They were biologically related. And in God's own design, God said, John, your assignment is that you will be a forerunner to your, in inverted commas, younger brother. And they came to ask him, are you the Messiah? Are you Jeremiah? Are you this and that? Because these manifestations, they bewilder the human mind. Tell us you are the Messiah. They said, no, I am not Jeremiah. I'm not Isaiah. I'm not the Messiah. I am the voice of one that cries in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. So I'm ordained to prepare the way. Moses was 3 years older than me. Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. And God said to Moses in Exodus 7 verse 1, see this day, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. A Aaron, your elder brother, will be your prophet. He could not fight it. And when that man did what he was not supposed to do, they put pressure under him because Moses, now on the mountain, remember when the hands of Moses were weak, he and Aaron, they supported him. Oh man, the blessing was there. Glory to God. And then at the part of Exodus 17, then at the time Moses was on the mount, and the people said, this man is starting to mount. They put pressure on Aaron, and then he crisscrossed into a jurisdiction that grace did not cover him. When I was in the university, I was in part 4. It was in part 1. Why did God say that I should be his associate pastor? What concerns God with part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4? Kilo kolon pelu gbo yen. Oh, glory to God. God doesn't think that way. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Glory to God. Alright. So we see very clearly in the scriptures, there is a structure of interdependence. God's prerogative, he has set in the body. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then number 5, verse 22 to 24, you can read, roles, contribution, essence, importance, and visibility. Some members of your body are visible, some are not visible, but it's part of the same body. We just receive them. Dad Egan, Aura Robots, and then T.L. Osborne. They stayed within the same geographical arena at a point in time. Dad Hagen was called to start a Bible school. And he's been adjured to be the father of the faith movement. He didn't build a university. God told Oral Robert, said, you will take my healing power to your generation, and you will build a university on my authority. T.L. Osborne became an apostolic evangelist. He ministered. T.L. Osborne, I mean, have we seen that sometimes God will raise a spiritual father for somebody who is in a country from another country? And T.L. Osborne played that role in the life that Baba Dauza. Praise the Lord. Apostolic evangelist. When he first got to India, he was frustrated. He saw William Branham preaching on the crusade. Crossed eyes, straightened out. He said he had 1,000 voices. You can do it too. You can do it too. He caught the fire by recognizing grace. By recognizing grace. A lot of people have said so many things about William Branham. When I was doing my youth service, I have some of his books in my library. Who is this Melchizedek? And then I listened to William Branham. When you listen to a minister, much more beyond the phonetics, the words, I saw the heart. The first time I listened to William Branham, I don't care whatever people have said about him, I saw a kind of a meekness. I couldn't explain it. He was preaching and he was not drawing attention to himself. I heard you. I heard it. I heard it on audio. And we have heard how the same man has influenced people who saw grace. See, we fail to realize that we have this treasure in heaven versus that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that is why the carrier of the treasure will now submit to the workings of the spirits, for the reconstituting work of the Spirit of God within the mental region, so that the mind can be aligned, the thinking pattern. You cast down imaginations and you bring every thought to captivity to the obedience of Christ. And then you do that. They are not perfect. We have seen people that say, you can't speak good English. Is that what is the treasure? Can somebody say the treasure? Jesus carried treasure. He says the son of a carpenter, he carried treasure. And then he told his disciples, he said, wherever you go, say, peace be unto you. If a son worthy of peace there, your peace will rest on it. And if no one is worthy of peace, say, your peace will return to you. Meaning, I carry something so precious that heaven will not allow thee to waste. Heaven will not allow anyone to rubbish it. Don't force your ministry on people. God has opened the hearts of people that will receive your ministry. And then you command great impact there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then verse 25. It talks about the unity of the body of Christ. That there be no schism in the body. We can read that. Jesus said that they may be one even as we are one. Verse 26 to 27. Compact and corporate existence in the body of Christ. Verse 28 to 30. Ministry gift operations. And then finally, verse 31, he talked about the more excellent way, love. Now, as I close, I want to mention this. So, I carry a dimension. Now, I want to emphasize this again. You are not relevant in the move of God because of your connection. It's because of your contribution. Every joint is supplying something. Ephesians 4, 16. And then we'll read one more scripture. And then I close. Let's read this again. 1, 2, 3, go. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Let's stop there. The body is compacted, joined together by what every joint supplies. Never despise anyone. We saw this in scripture. Paul told the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when you are gathered together, every one of you, he said, let's look at it. He said, every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, or an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. I've seen people come, and then somebody speaks into a real schema, hangling among the scatters, labrana. So, oh wow, this tongue is powerful. It's called prophetic and apostolic tongues. Amen. And somebody else comes and says, Muri. I said, this tongue is weak. who made us the examiner? You know something, when you come to fellowship, even if you have not entered the auditorium, and then you are some meters away, and then you are hearing tongues going on. You can know, bro, so and so is in service. Sister, so and so is in service. It could be 2 syllables. Now, I don't know, maybe because the way God has worked on my heart, and I'm still submitting myself to Him. Some things are too sacred to talk about. He said, how beat in the spirit, He speaketh what? So when He said, Muri, the scripture says he's speaking what? Ha! Speaking mysteries. Every one of you say has a son, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation. One day I finished preaching in church some years ago, and a brother walked up to me. I said, sir, we are close to this. And he said, I saw like 2 planes. They crashed, and then up to me. So I checked. No problem. So I said the intercessor should wait. And then they started praying. We prayed. Now one of our members, I think the uncle was traveling down from UK that week. Now that week there were 2 recorded plane crashes. One involved the former governor of Ondo State, whose body was conveyed from, I think, Lagos or so. That was another one. Now I will not despise that. He's too sacred. If it is a song, it's a psalm. Somebody comes and say, I have a word. And I say, what is the word? Pastor, the Lord said, I'm here. Glory to God. I change not. The pastor, what? Sit down. The scripture says it already, so I know.
People get mind though. How we can tamper with the things of the spirit and just talk things anyhow and just say things anyhow. We come and we mimic some men of God and then, oh man, now that's the lowest low we can come. We have got to celebrate each other. Now, back to that scripture. Back to that scripture. I'm true now. Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. Praise the Lord. According to the effectual working. Can somebody say working? Let's say loud. Say working. In the measure of every part. So, my level of contribution to the body of Christ will be determined by the depth of the working of the Spirit in the measure of my part. And that is why a baby in Christ is a member of the kingdom, but it's not an asset to the kingdom. If he does not grow, he's connected to the kingdom, but will not contribute something to the kingdom. So if I allow my part to be worked on by the Spirit, and I stand in the prophetic office, I will not use that anointing to rob people, to abuse people. If I allow the Spirit to work on the measure of my teaching grace, I will not sway the people of God or begin to teach false doctrine. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What God cannot do does not exist. It's scriptural. Everybody understood what that means. Am I correct? So why will somebody... God will help us in the body. Now, can somebody say what God cannot do does not exist? Can somebody say what God cannot do? I believe it. So I will be the last one to come and say God cannot lie. Oh, Abba, Abba, Abba. Is that what we are talking about? It has happened in the body of Christ. May God help us. Let's rise to our feet, everyone. Let's rise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Let's celebrate grace. Let's celebrate grace. While the world was going on, we have the servant of God walked in, Pastor, you are journey. Please celebrate grace. I believe it's going to be heavy tonight. Celebrate grace. We have evangelist Lawrence Oyo. Please celebrate. We celebrate grace. Pastor James Samuel, thank you. We celebrate you. Pastor Shagwan Demi and Joe Demi, we celebrate you. Thank you so much. We celebrate you, sir. Ma. Thank you so much, sir. I celebrate. Please honor them. Please, sir. I celebrate Pastor. I celebrate ministers. Whenever I see grace, I connect. Whenever I see grace, I celebrate grace. I celebrate grace. Don't forget. Hey. It's the whole dimensions of God. You alone want to carry everything. You bust. Can you imagine? Let me just give you a graphical illustration. All the dimensions in the body of Christ. All the dimensions. Somebody singing, you talk about music, mistress. Oh, yeah. That's a dimension. And then you interpret, you sing. That one self, it has taken the whole of your time and your life. You receive another body intercession. And then when your husband, your wife sets on the dam and the goosey before you, you want to, Father, thank you, Lord, for this provision. And then the burden is going. You take that in. You have the body of a teacher too. You're praying in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the anointing comes on you and begins to show you in scripture. So you carry it, begin to read it. You have another one, prophet. I know a man of God. He wants to preach, like he opened the Bible. From A to Z, it is visions. And every some of you are here, you had a dream, you carry coffin on your head, and you have that dimension too. So another dimension, you have another one. You see the loss. Oh, the loss for Christ! The loss! Africa shall be saved! Europe shall be saved! Jesus died! Evangelistic. Then you have another prophetic dimension in the order of Jeremiah to rule down, to pull down. Say 2023 elections. And then you now have like 100 dimensions. You become a confused person. That's why some people have died before their time. Even know that. Just raise your right hand. Say, Lord, I stay in my office. I stay faithful. I stay committed to the assignment that you have given me. I will never despise your grace upon my life. In my heart, I will not despise it. I will not despise it. Lord Jesus, help me. You build the future of your kingdom through my ministry, through the grace that you have given to me. And I declare that I will be committed. I will give myself to all the responsibilities and the consecration of my divine ordination. And you alone shall be glorified. Can you pray in the spirit? Can you pray in the spirit? As we receive Apostle Femi Lazarus, just pray in the spirit and seal it up. Just set it up. Pray in the spirit. He's only angry. No, say. Can no monge sino pre sketo angra zude. Mahaste.
Bless you, Jesus. Oh, bless your holy name. Bless you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.